Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us. As they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table, the story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Oh, thank you very much for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. Oh man, this has been probably one of our longest recording sessions, just in terms of how many episodes that we've put out. So we hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun to record. Some of these have been really dark, and some of them have been a lot more fun. Let's go ahead and go around and introduce everybody here on staff.
Staff. I'm Stephanie. Apparently, I'm a member Stephanie. Of staff. Dude, really?
It lends itself to it.
I usually play Miranda Crystal.
I'm Jeff. I have the coolest family in this game.
Yes, you do.
I'm Sergeant Willis Masters.
I'm Jeremy. I am Captain Orion James.
I'm Johnny. I play Professor Edric Farthings.
I'm Carl, and I play Dran Renner.
So, guys, do you feel like you know the characters a little bit better?
A whole lot better.
Yeah.
I loved doing these episodes. Mm-hmm. They were so much fun. One thing I really liked about it is each, as players, we got sort of direct where we wanted to go, but it wasn't. I mean, even the stuff that we wanted to happen, there were extra little bombs that were just thrown in.
Yeah.
Which is going to add some nice complications to...
Especially Orion.
Planet side. Well, especially Orion's. Mm-hmm. And Miranda's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Orion was a daddy.
And possibly Willis, too.
Yeah.
Get that gimp foot.
Mm-hmm.
Foot's all better.
Well, the good thing about this is that I think it really does help flesh the characters out more.
Yeah.
You kind of understand how they came to be the way they are, which the first season has really given you an idea of who they are.
Yeah.
And now you see why they are that way.
Mm-hmm. After Dran's episode... You almost feel sorry for Dran. Like, because you, all throughout his episode, you saw him as the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost were, I don't know, in the scenes that I was just sitting back and watching with him, I was almost like, oh, that's really messed up.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It was great. How did you feel, Carlin, playing those scenes where... Because, you know, Dran... Typically, you come up with, like, some kind of nickname for him throughout, like, the beginning of the episode, and it's typically something like Dran the Man Renner or mm-hmm. Dran Always in Control Renner. And here we have a character who doesn't seem to ever really want control in his life until maybe...
Dran walked all over
Renner. A few months before the actual expedition begins.
Well, it's because it was a situation where he was being made a victim his entire life, so he just got to a point where he realized, you know, it's time for me to stop being a victim and start just creating them instead.
If you will, going with Edric's scenario, he didn't have an Edric Farthings to step in and steer him in the right direction like Edric did with
Josiah.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, he was left to his own devices, so he didn't have a healthy way of finding out how to cope with things. And I mean, honestly,
electrified bodysuits.
Yeah. Through college, he held it together. It's just once he got out into the real world,
he just
couldn't.
And it was great how his training exercises showed how competent he actually is at his job. you know, so...
Well, and that's something that's never been in question.
Right.
Even in season one, like, he's always been great at his job, and he's usually been right when he gives information about what should be done in a situation. It's just that he's so messed up the way he goes about things.
Emotionally and interpersonally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
That was really enlightening, especially for him, but also for Miranda, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
See, cause I kind of see her at the bottom when she hit rock bottom at the party. Yeah. Where she was totally
I never
trashed.
Pictured her getting tased because she was so unruly at a party. Yep.
That happened.
That pretty much... Okay.
That was awesome. Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, and it was funny, like, too, because, like, in my write-up that I did for her, I said that it was, you know, it was becoming a liability of a drinking problem to the point where, like, Michael Hainsworth was able to clean her out.
Yeah.
Because he looked so much better on paper than she did.
Well, and also now, I mean, he's got a great case for libel,
mm-hmm.
you know, or slander at the very least.
Right. Her reputation's kind of ruined, too. I mean, even her brother, when he said "we heard," was like, she's like, heard.
Yeah, well, Michael Hainsworth sent an invitation to her dad.
Jeff, that was fantastic. I was not expecting that at all. Jeff's like, takes the invitation, slides out of you into his pocket. I was like, dang.
That is cool.
I kind of like the fact that, like, when she's talking to her brother and he says something like being invited to it, she hadn't gotten her invitation yet. Didn't get it until the night before she left.
Mm-hmm. But she did get one.
The final straw.
But it was kind of a last minute sting to her.
Yeah.
I think what was cool is that we got to see that when you really think about it, every character has pretty much gone on this mission to escape their prior life, except for Willis, who was just told to be there because he's the red shirt. So everyone else is running from something, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I kind of felt like things, really. I kind of like felt like Edric had been manipulated into going. Mm-hmm. Too.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
Edric,
that's
and
the point.
Willis,
he's running.
They're manipulated into going.
Yeah, I mean, Farthings isn't really that's running true. From something.
He's that's, being pushed from something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
Miranda is running.
Yeah.
And Orion sees it as a means to an end.
Yeah.
Although he is sort of running away from his reputation at this point.
Yeah.
Like, running away from it with the hope of coming back with something better.
I loved how that worked out. How, because, I mean, that incident damaged his career, but it also damaged his marriage in a way.
His family.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's his whole life. Yeah.
Yeah, it ripped apart his whole life.
And it has the potential to do further damage.
Yeah.
A lot of further
Gosh.
Damage. I cannot wait for that to come out.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Oh my goodness. That last goal that I had needs to become goal number one.
Yeah.
Now,
Which
the whole
was?
Find a outlet from the burden of command, because just saying, if Orion doesn't find an outlet before that bomb gets dropped, that could be the straw that breaks
it. I could see him sitting on a hospital bed with some oxygen tanks, you know, getting ready to blow something up.
Well, something. Some people.
Yeah. we might have...
Dran's waiting on the other side for Orion to come over.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
Yeah.
Remember,
depending on when that happens, I could see that that's too much for Ryan. He just flips out.
I almost feel like that would be something that would end the campaign. You know, I mean, because if he goes and he does that, then he's going to die. He will...
Well, one of us would die.
Dran, well, probably some of the players would die, and then Dran would probably put you down like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
depending on when and what happens
yeah.
to Dran.
Dran might be one of those people
yep.
that Orion goes for. It depends. It's a lot of
ifs.
Things are
I will tell
moving
you, it will not be
play.
Mossbeard.
It will not be Mossbeard.
He's planted roots.
That's right. I'm a tree.
But I mean, go ahead.
For my character, like, I had in the write-up, I had this idea that, like, she went planet-side sort of trying to hopefully put herself in a more extreme environment that would force her to learn how to have relationships.
Right.
And in this environment, it seems to have even more, like, reinforced the fact that she can't have relationships.
Right. Like, yeah.
And the one relationship that I feel like could have come out of what has happened so far, Wendy.
Yeah.
Has bombed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Wendy was at that party.
At,
With
please?
With Cassiopeia. Yeah.
Wendy was at that one?
No. She was at the other one.
No, Abigail was at
the other one. Abigail was at that one. Right.
Abigail was at the other one.
Yeah, no. So she Wendy hasn't was fully at the party escaped.
With Drand.
Yeah, with Drand.
Right. And Miranda has not fully escaped the thing she was trying to run from. But, like, yeah, like, just, you know, after doing that whole scene, I'm, like, realizing, oh, well, she essentially came planet-side trying to teach herself how to have friends. And
she is totally
she's failing miserably.
That. Yeah.
Poor Miranda.
I mean, that might give you a good goal, though, for this next season.
I can be your friend.
Yeah, yeah, to learn from VeggieTales and improve Miranda's friends. Like her, not necessarily her social standing, but, you know.
To make a friend.
Yeah, to at least be able to be close to one person.
Mm-hmm.
The one person that she could have been close to was Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Wendy's kind of gone off the deep end at this point.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, who knows exactly what's going to happen there.
Oh, I hope she's friends with Edric.
That would be a close second, honestly. Because Edric doesn't have any kind of aspirations for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a challenge to her professionally.
No, and they have enough in common as far as, like, scientific and medical interests. Especially the fact that apparently Edric has been working on cancer cures, and that's something very near and dear to Miranda's heart.
Yeah, that actually...
Yeah, that we might learned be about that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something that they're able to collaborate on in the future.
Right.
And, you know, just work it out and see what's going mm-hmm. on.
And I mean, the other thing also after the whole scene with the beehives and everything was... I was really thinking Miranda was going to kind of... She's not going to be in a good place for a good while. She lost 5 patients... Her whole goal to prove to herself that, like, she was, you know, still, you know, viable work-wise kind of went down the drain. So she might be...
She didn't need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
She didn't need to be stood up for.
Yeah.
When it took everybody to come rescue her.
Pretty much.
I feel like when I said, give me goals... I feel like I just turned
asking
your...
for challenges.
No, well, no. I mean, that's that, but that's how I've built the campaign up to this point. Is I've taken what you guys have told me that you want, and I've made it. But I don't think I've given you anything positive. I think I've just ripped you guys apart,
mm-hmm.
piece by piece.
So far, yeah.
Well, oh no, turning into three turned out to be positive.
It had positive points, but I mean,
it still means that you will probably never leave the planet.
Yeah, I'll right. never see my family again.
He no. also had to, like, give up what he thought was going to be his life, essentially.
Yeah.
Like...
Even if you saw your family again, you think Space Hillbillies would be accepting of a tree person?
I don't know.
Probably not. Well, it depends.
I don't know. They might carve their initials in you.
Yeah, Bobby would.
Hurt.
Bobby would probably pee on you, yeah. honestly.
Bobby! Make you drink it!
Oh, the NPCs were pretty great this time.
Oh, yeah.
I love reprising NPCs. Willis's parents. Yes!
Willis's parents, Bernard and Walter.
Yeah.
Who's that other one? Billy Hill.
Justine.
Justine was sweet.
Oh. I have to say, Nadia was fun to play.
Yeah.
She was... But, I felt like an awful human being afterward, but it was, you know, it was
welcome
fun during the end.
Well, I mean, Nadia was a terrible human being, and
I wish I had thought
you know
of that.
That's vomit who Dran became, basically. Right. By killing her, he became her.
Well, the interesting part is that you know she didn't stay that person. Mm-hmm. She even said she was like, I don't know, I was in college. I'm just.
Well, in college, you think of that as such a formative time in your life, but right. The further I've gotten away from my college to the career, the more I realize I didn't know who I was or who I wanted to be. I mean, I didn't find out who I was as a person, I don't think, until my late 20s, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, you know?
So, yeah. I think early 30s for me.
Yeah.
And I'm only 32.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And like mine's been the last couple years, so, yeah. Yeah. Starting karate and learning how to beat people up.
Yeah. That does great things for your esteem.
Right.
It really does, actually.
So. Oh, my goodness.
Love the weaving that we did.
Excuse me. Like how the NPCs from one would show up in another.
Different characters are connected and they don't even know it.
Yes.
Yeah. And some fun surprises.
Oh.
Very fun.
I'm going to need a character web. Just from like...
I think I tried to make one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one was like for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just how like... Like the degrees of separation between the actual PCs
like
is
the
more
only,
helpful.
The only characters that I think didn't have in the episodes like a direct connection to somebody else was Orion. Like all of his was just... His family.
Just
everybody else had cameos sort of pop up.
Because everybody else was in the orbital commune. And...
Well, no, there were people who were in the Lunar Alliance.
Well, no, all those connections did happen in orbital commune.
Yeah.
It's a place where people go to party.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, and I think Orion, him not having connections to every other character is kind of part and parcel of his character's personality, almost, like the fact that he is separated emotionally from everybody.
Separated emotionally, and also his lifestyle was being completely different from everybody else.
If you're in the military, if you're an officer in the military, you do not interact with
people. Well, not just the officer in the military, but
his whole family.
His family is just like...
And was higher up military, too.
Higher up military, moved around tons, and that whole, I love it, where Aurora and Rhea... We're kind of had a fun little back and forth. It's like, well, you can't make me do push-ups. Oh, she can make you do push-ups. Mm-hmm. Kind of tells the kind of family
yeah.
they came from. It's like, even though she wasn't military, she was the XO.
Yeah, the word
in the family.
Is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the XO has more actual say than the CEO does. So
yeah.
It's just how that dynamic works out.
I love the way the montage scene actually fleshed out how Aurora got out of what should have made her a coward and be court-martialed and it was perfect.
It was perfect.
And it also explained a lot of their relationship because she is occasionally still kind of sweet to him.
Oh yeah.
And. Like, you do that, and I'm like, really? And now it makes sense.
Well, it makes a whole lot more sense why Orion is so...
Bitter.
Against her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she came out of that situation the hero when she's the only one that didn't do what she was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who's by the book, that is just... That is killer. You know? How can the favored one be the one who doesn't do anything right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Sounds like work situations.
I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. And, Orion was going to be a daddy.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that was my favorite moment of the whole night, was like the realization that, wait, why would a military person back out because she heard a child crying? Oh... That's why.
Yeah, and I just threw that out there with the hope that somebody would make something of it. Because, oh my God. I mean, it was a half-formed idea like, when boom. I had it.
Yes!
And Stephanie ran with it.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. All the way to the end goal. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, you take an idea that you have, and if you put it out there and it has enough of a hook to it, even if it's not fully formed, then someone in the group, I mean, we all have a pretty unique way of looking at gaming and everything, so we can see where something will work, and then you say it, and everybody else goes, oh, that's brilliant. And a lot of times, one of the rules that I've read about gaming is that the best thing to say is the thing that's the most obvious to you. Because probably 9 times out of 10, the people around the table talking with you don't think of the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, something completely obvious comes to them. So, I mean, it's something that you have to do in order to communicate ideas and work creatively with each other.
Right.
I keep thinking about the instance where Edric Farthing stopped the kid from jumping off the balcony. He's like, look, it won't do the damage you think it will.
Yeah, he doesn't say, look, your life is going to be so much better or anything. He's like, look, the math doesn't add up.
I thought
that was genius.
It was brilliant.
Perfect.
It was perfect for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great.
It wasn't an emotional thing, but it was gentle.
It proved that even though he was a cast-out nerd, he could make friends. Mm-hmm. Which, it helped explain why his interns or his subordinates liked him so much.
I think
I heard afterward that, like, Josiah, you know, us picturing him as a window washer or whatever, like, you know, he and Edric were still very different, but they were still, like, they had formed that bond and, like,
they seemed
to
maintain that friendship later on. Which is cool.
Yeah.
If even just a little bit.
What's the force of that?
Still not enough.
You didn't kill me.
And I mean, it was cool to see Edric be someone who seems to actually be fairly charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something of a leader in his own field, but nobody in the group, nobody in the party in Landing Team Beta sees him that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, because we all have our own situations that we're focused on, and it's not the same thing that
Edric
is.
Nobody else is even remotely close to my field. The closest person would be Miranda.
Yeah.
You know?
And
but she's been so busy
with her career that she hasn't paid any attention to what's going on around her.
As usual.
Yeah.
Hmm. So busy with her career, she doesn't know what's going on around her. Sounds like somebody else in the group.
Yeah, her and Edric actually have a lot in common.
Hmm.
Thinking about it, now that we've done these, like, flashback episodes leading up to the mission, every character in the group, with the exception of Willis Masters, is like a soda bottle that has been shaken up and then put together and said, all right, go off and have fun.
Yeah.
That is fun. Mm-hmm. Have you ever put together a case of shaken up soda bottles and opened them up all at one time?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, it wasn't like they were stable going into
the
thing. The only one that was stable going in.
I think we all
kind
of knew that none of our characters were really stable going in. I mean, I think Edric was more stable than I pictured. I had pictured him more stable. I hadn't pictured him with, like, the outcast upbringing and, you know, being ignored by his parents. But, like, I think
ignored by his parents, but just
at least
just didn't know how to
Orion James, Strand Renner, and Miranda Kristoff, I think we all kind of knew that they weren't stable personalities.
But now we're finding out how bad.
Yeah.
Right.
It was.
Yeah.
Graydon used to be a stable personality.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Once upon a time.
Well, I don't think any kid raised like that is going to stay a stable personality.
No, not at all.
Well,
I mean, I don't want to say, I mean,
have a friend who is.
I mean, they go unstable for a little bit, and then
Come back to reality.
They come back to reality.
Everybody has points in their life where they're better off than other points. And I'm not going to, I don't think that you can say that everybody turns out like Jan Renner, because he went to the absolute extreme.
Oh, right, yeah, but he also didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
So, fair warning. If you see somebody acting crazy, be their friend.
Yeah,
indeed.
Try to be right. A friend.
Influence, don't be influenced.
Right.
Just automatically be friends of people who are going off the rails.
No, I'm just saying, be a friend.
If you already know them.
Okay. Be nice. Be a friend. Yeah. Can we... This is just a random idea, but can we go around and kind of, like, try to come up with a, like, one-word description of the mood of each... Because I felt like the mood subtly varied between each scene.
Each character, like...
Each episode. Each
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, if you want. Just to see which, I mean, because it's like
one word for your own episode.
Like a one word mood.
For
the entire episode.
That
for your own episode. Your own episode.
Or for everybody's. For everybody's.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what would be your word for Jeremy's episode? For
Orion's. For Orion James's episode.
Complicated.
Square.
Okay, mood is the wrong word because I'm thinking like just the theme.
But you're thinking like the atmosphere?
Mm-hmm. I would say loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loss. Because, you know, he lost a brother. He lost his wife.
He lost his mother.
His mother. He lost a lot of respect that people had for him. And he lost a child. Not that he knows about it yet, but...
Gosh.
Loss.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I would go with an epic for Jeremy's or Orion's story, because it's an epic tale of this rise in his life to this total plummet, and now he's working on that build again. Because that's how epics go.
Yeah, it is rather Homer-esque.
Yeah. Hmm. That's how epics go. They build to a good point where you're like, man, this is awesome.
They've and got then, it great. And then and it plummets. Then take it, away.
It plummets to absolutely nothing. And then they struggle from that base point to get back to where they...
To hero status.
Yeah, to hero status.
That's interesting.
It's kind of interesting, though, this time, because you're earning hero status. First time, it was kind of handed to you.
Well... But he started to earn his way through the ranks.
Yeah, but he was born into a well-to-do family.
Yeah.
He was trained from an early age, essentially,
to do well. But he still did very well.
Yeah.
He did.
At what he...
Yeah.
What
yeah.
he did.
Yeah.
Right,
it wasn't like, oh, nobody... just because your father is, you're going to get the highest grade. No, he got the highest...
No, but marks. It wouldn't have been withstood in his family for him not to.
Well, yeah, it was expected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, this time, he gets to earn it on his own.
Yeah. I would say... unfortunate. Just because looking at the other characters who had bad things happen to them, Orion... was really the only one that didn't directly contribute to his downfall.
That's fair.
So.
It was sort of just thrust upon him.
I mean, his actions were a part of the, I don't know, equation. But it wasn't like a
driving force for his downward spiral.
Yeah, it wasn't his decision alone that sent him on that downward path. So.
I would have to go with military.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, pretty much.
I mean, his life is military. His whole life.
Speaking of which, it's kind of interesting that we bookended the night with the two military characters.
Hmm. thought it was interesting that even though Miranda's career is her entire life and has ruined everything else in her
life.
We
never touched it.
Never touched it. Didn't do anything medical. Like, even when she was at school, it was at a party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about people is their jobs are the least interesting thing about them, honestly.
Yeah? You just would have thought that.
Except
it kind of yeah. It kind of illustrated how empty her job is.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I know that my job is the least interesting thing about me as a person.
But same here. She always thought it was the most important thing to her.
Yeah.
But then in the end, yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah.
Carlin?
For Orion's, I would say probably destruction. From personal destruction, relationship destruction, to actual destruction of
property.
Yeah, exactly.
Space property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of life and limb.
Yeah, I was going to say loss. You know, it was a big episode of loss and almost of a regret in a lot of ways. Not a regret of things that he did, but things that he couldn't control. You know, and that's probably one of the reasons why he became so by the book. Leadership is my thing, you know. Because if he can't control it, he's afraid of it.
Yeah.
Stephanie, Miranda's episode. What do you think is your word for hers?
You want me to lead?
Yeah.
Depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, it was like, it was a downward spiral of depression. Mm-hmm. Ending in just getting just totally hammered and just being rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking angry.
Well,
you think?
Those are intertwined.
They are. Yeah. It is. It's very much so, yeah.
I think fighting. Like, if we're just gonna pick one theme to go with, mm-hmm. Fighting. She was fighting with Michael.
Yeah, I loved her fights with Cassiopeia.
I enjoyed Cassiopeia.
Yeah, you enjoyed playing that, didn't you?
Yes,
you
I
just
did.
Liked rubbing your stomach like you were pregnant.
He does that anyway all the time. So.
I know.
It's my food.
He's got
baby.
A food baby.
I like
He's
food
due
babies.
Anytime.
I had a word. And then I lost it.
Pumpernickel?
No, it wasn't okay. Pumpernickel.
It's a word.
I would say fearful.
How about desperate?
I wouldn't, no, not fearful, but hesitant.
Hesitant to lose what she has?
Hesitant to grow out of her bubble, lose what she has, gain something new.
Well, and also, I mean, fearful is a good word for it because she's fearful of bringing another life into the world and then abandoning it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she was fearful of losing what was gained and losing what was already gone.
Yeah.
You said desperate. That's the, again, we're thinking of the same things.
Get out of my head, Jeremy.
That's the word I would have used, because as the scenes went on, just the desperation got more and more and more. The first one scene started off where the desperation was just to hang on what you were comfortable with.
Mommy. You know, the funny thing was that Kim, your wife, came down and sat with us for a while, and she came down like right at the last part, wasn't it, of Miranda's episode?
It was the last part of
Orion's. It was the last part of Orion's.
Yeah.
And then the first part of Miranda's.
Yeah.
And then she went back upstairs. I'm like, oh, Kim, it's not always that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was
the most depressing section of the evening.
And, which ended with Miranda going over the top with just went on a drinking binge and was desperate to make her point.
Who had hurt her.
Yeah. And then just desperate to get away from everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say.
I would go with intense. because the emotions were extremely intense the entire time.
Yeah.
Were you guys afraid I was actually yelling at Carlin?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean,
because like I threw the paper and I saw everybody kind of tense, and I'm like,
character
is that
emotions.
Think I'm gonna hit them with it.
I, you know, the thing is, if I thought things were going off the rails, I would have stopped it like I did.
Okay.
Before in that very.
Oh.
Yeah, because I mean. Whew.
That session was tense.
Yeah, the one where you guys had the Mexican standoff.
Actually,
yeah.
I actually think a lot of what we did tonight was more intense.
Than it was.
It was.
It was. But
we've gotten used to each other.
But the thing is,
style.
Yeah,
we're
the
used
thing
to it now.
The
yeah.
thing is that we had not the Mexican standoff was a night where or a day that
the
we
Amazonian
had,
standoff.
Yeah, yeah, we had never done anything like that in our role playing careers as a group before.
Right. So
I mean,
we were like. This is new.
This is new, and this is kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, but now that we've gone to the depths of, like, talking people out of suicide.
Human
I mean,
depravity.
Yeah, I mean, and bee people crawling all over you. And just,
oh, that was so creepy.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten to this place where we, I think as a group over this last year, we've matured a lot in that way, in that we trust each other a lot more in really high tension situations.
I really enjoy messing with Carlin.
You have the last.
I did the last.
The last word for Miranda's.
I'll start with Dran's.
Yeah.
I think Dran's was depressing.
Yeah.
Like, to see somebody that started off not, like, bad at all, just a little misunderstood. And then actually had high hopes and goals and aspirations, but just got dumped on over and over and over again. And it, like I said before, you almost end up feeling sorry for Dran.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man.
Well, I mean, the thing was, his character went from being, like, full disclosure, we played a fiasco game that we're saving in reserve as a special episode. The Grove brothers weren't able to be here, so we had a special guest. But Carlin played this very innocent character, and I almost feel like Dran started off like that very innocent character, and then.
Well, and I saw bits of what was his name from the first fiasco episode?
Harold.
Harold. Yeah, Harold Dinkins. I saw bits of Harold
Dinkins.
In Dran. In that scene where he's, like, professing his love for this chick who's like, yeah, I'm just using you. I don't...
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So...
The feels were there.
Mm-hmm.
For Dran... I had a word, and then... They started talking about things and I forgot my word.
We can come back.
I was going to say that Dran's episode was. I found it intriguing. Because when he was younger, he was a lot like Masters.
Yeah.
Like, completely different family life, of course. But, like, he was very driven towards his goal, and worked hard towards his goal his entire life.
Yeah.
You know, he was working hard so he could go far. His entire life.
And he honestly believed in his career path.
Fully, from the very beginning.
I'd say for Dran's storyline... The word I would use to describe it is damage. And that's like emotional and mental damage, and also damage to people physically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were thinking along the same lines. My word was going to be traumatized.
Mm-hmm. I also thought about revenge, because that's another.
Dang it, now I have three words. Like, everything everybody else said gave me another word that wasn't the word they said. I have darkness, hopeless, and accumulation.
I like accumulation.
Yeah.
I like accumulation.
So.
Layers of snow.
Yep. Because he just kept taking in everything everybody else did to him, and eventually...
it just popped.
Yep. Poor Dran. Man, I never thought I'd say that. Especially because of what I did to him.
Yeah.
It's the worst experience ever. You made me feel bad for picking on Dran. Dude. It's a lot.
The thing is, no character, no person is one dimensional.
You have to go to therapy now.
For Dran, my word was going to be depressing as well, just because it was a very depressing story. It just started off bad and got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And
whenever you thought it couldn't get worse,
then he changed who he was, which is depressing, because he was this good kid, then he changed who he was.
Yeah, I thought he was inspirational until the very end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you also notice that, like, he did the perfect thing for a depressing story, which is depressing beginning, something even more depressing happens, he lifts himself up and has a shining moment, and then boom.
Yeah.
And dead people.
Nadia. Yeah. Nadia. Oh my gosh.
And it was his first...
which is actually, it's kind of the opposite murder. Of Orion's.
Where it started off great. It was great.
And then...
it was great.
Plummeted.
And then it was horrible.
And then...
so no, you're saying Dran has an anti-epic?
We're exact.
Yeah.
Orion and Dran are exact opposites.
Like the
hero, and they're the two leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we've got a very Gnostic game going on where we have the dark and the light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carlin, for being the dark to our light.
No problem.
No.
I don't know. I think Carlin likes being dark, because even the other character we talked about, him playing the innocent one,
yeah,
that turned a little twisted at the end.
It was a little skeevy at the end, yes.
So it's a little bit like, did you plan that?
I hung out with the goth kids in high school, so...
yeah, I know you did.
And the punk kids, they hung out together.
You know, and one of the things...
you know, I hung out with that group of kids, too, in high school.
And me, too.
Me, too.
For some reason, they accepted me. I
hung out with everybody, actually.
Yeah, you did.
Hung out with
no,
nerds.
I was really
Johnny,
peppy.
We were homeschooled. I hung out with the church group. I mean...
I hung out with the nerds at school.
Yeah, well, I was the nerd at school. The nerd.
Did you pick on yourself, Jordan?
Oh my gosh.
You're such a nerd, Jordan.
Did you pant yourself and laugh?
I always... yeah. Every night before the shower, I had to pants myself.
Oh.
And it's like, I always tell people, that, yeah, the prom was really awkward.
Yeah.
What was that show? It was Good Luck Charlie.
Yeah. But
who's next on the list? Is it Edric?
Yeah, it's Edric. But one thing I did want to say about Dran and his character is I think it was interesting that from the very beginning, Carlin chose... I have a set of black and white dice that we use to play, and a lot of you guys grab the white dice as your main die and then the black one as your wild. But Carlin always grabs the black as his regular dice and the white... huh. As his wild. So there's this darkness in Dran Renner that's always there, but there's always a chance of redemption on a six.
Deep.
It was deep.
Deep.
Well, that choice is really because black is just my favorite color. Always has been, so. Which really isn't technically a color, it's the absence of light, so.
Yeah.
Orange.
And again, I say,
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk about Edric's game. Our one word for Edric's.
My word for Edric would be stifled.
Good one.
Just because you saw in each scene so much potential. And then...
there's a bug on the podium.
Something. Yeah, something. Whether it's the bug on the podium or it's the... actual Dean coming to talk him down from taking his job. Just something
or
that just...
bullies and high school kids.
Yeah, that put a cap on... I mean, the potential, especially with the scene with Josiah, was like... yeah, he may be the science boy, but...
science boy.
He's got some good personal yeah. skills, but he chooses not to use them.
Yeah.
So that my word would be stifled because there's so much potential, but it's always seems like it's being kept mm-hmm. rather than
break the cap,
set loose,
pop the cap,
pop the top,
yeah, pop on the top,
back on target.
All right. I would have to say that for Frederick. I keep saying Frederick.
Frederick Farthings.
Frederick Maryland Arlings.
Yes. Frederick Farthings.
Edric.
I would say lackluster.
Interesting.
Because while he has great potential, and like he even proved that when he got the Nobel for an amazing discovery, he doesn't have any drive with it. So he's very lackluster.
I'd say for Edric, endearing. Because
first choice.
Yeah, because that's a he's just a good person trying to do good things, and it gives you know a hope for humanity, kind of. So it's endearing.
I was going to say manipulated, because if it wasn't his teachers in school manipulating him, you know, by making him go to classes and go to the lunch when he didn't want to and everything like that. It was his dean in his college career, but it was also his students.
And
students were assistants. Wildly manipulative. Mm-hmm. From Velma,
Bernard and Walter.
From Velma, who wanted Katie, who wanted to get with him. this is hilarious because Edric is the character who men want to be him and women want to be with him.
So true.
And who threatens other people's standings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you go, Edric.
But again, he lacks the drive.
See, I was gonna say endearing, and then I changed my mind right before you said it to human. He's the most human of all of our characters. He has the most normal flaws. He's a little bit of a coward. He backs down from a challenge when it gets a little too much for him. He gets right there to the edge of having a relationship and then kind of, oh, hold on, I better pull back a little bit. I'm not sure about this. And like, he's so human. He's so bright.
Are we humans? Or are we Edric?
I think all of our other characters tend to be a little larger than life.
Yeah.
And Johnny's character is...
Well, that's typical for role-playing in general.
Yeah.
So human. He's so normal. He's just...
I think Willis is fairly human, too.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
Right. Oh,
now he's flourishing.
But well, it's also funny because Edric is...
Point!
He's built so that he's actually very special and unique. He's got this huge intellectual potential. He's a professor, and he graduated college early, and he won the Nobel Prize. You know, but...
At a very young age.
At a very, very young age. And he's, like, made huge advances in his field. But at the same time that he's got all these hugely special qualities, he is the most realistic character.
Yeah.
Out of all of us, I think, at this point.
Yeah, at this point. Now I'm in charge. Mine was pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Well, but even to the fact of, like, your...
I was having a hard time writing anything.
Has fairly little tragedy in it.
I was having a hard time coming up with any story for such a nice guy. So I'm like, well, let's screw this. We're making him into a tree. So,
well, that's also partially why the way I made Edric was that he did have some, his fatal flaws of like cowardice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just like even what I was saying is for like even Willis, his life has more. Less real because it's funny.
Yeah.
It's always funny. His life is a sitcom. Edric's life is.
That's not my fault.
Real.
It's a reality TV show.
Right? What it is. But yeah, Edric's life is real. Edric's life has that tinge of sadness and that little bit of mischances.
It's
and,
more like,
you know,
what?
But Duck Dynasty. Funny
Duck
too.
Dynasty is what my life is like. It's Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's more like Jersey Shore set in the hillbillies,
right?
Master's Monarchy. There you go.
There we go.
So what do you have? What do you have for Edric's?
Edric Farthings. I was gonna say scared.
Edric's of Terra Proxima.
Everything he did or didn't do was out of fear of some force or another.
Well, except for his first scene.
No, even that was fear,
fear of
a guy
watching
dying.
A guy dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was in that position in the first place out of fear of his teachers.
He didn't want to go to gym class.
Yeah.
Fear of gym. He was afraid of everything.
Except for the science lab.
Well, yeah.
It's because he can make grilled cheese.
But he was manipulated so easily because of his fear for disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that he worked with, and then he backed down because he was afraid of the dean.
Yeah, because that was one thing. He tried to stand up to the dean at first.
Yeah, when you did that, I was like, yeah, go get him. And then you were like, no.
When the dean kept pushing, I was like, yeah.
Oh, I sympathized so much with that.
It was a well-done scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's me in a confrontation. I'm like, I'm gonna. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like the baby on Look Who's Talking To. I'm gonna.
So now we've got. Willis's.
I'll start with Willis. Just one word for me, comedic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of needed that at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we really did. Because I just remember thinking so through all the rest of the episodes, this is deep. Oh, this is
too much to think about.
Oh, feels.
It hurts.
And it was just good to laugh and choke and cry a little. Like, it was great. So yeah, I'm gonna use the phrase the feels for mine.
The feels.
The feels.
The feels.
I'm gonna say love. Especially with his family. Like, he loves his parents. He does everything. Like, he really does everything out of love. And I love that about Willis.
Yeah.
Oh.
He even bumps
Willis,
out of
you've
love.
Got glitter on your lip.
Oh,
he tries to cover for other people out of love.
No!
Pure good hell.
Fairy dust.
Zombie Willis.
Huh? Still there?
Yes, it's glitter.
No.
It's all over you, actually. You look like a stripper.
It's stuck on you forever. You'll never get it off of you.
Anyway, let's finish the episode.
He'll be a stripper.
So,
we can make fun of stripper wells.
No. My bark is gone.
Please be restrained. After he's been stripped.
The word I'm going to use is embarrassing. Because, well...
Your family's embarrassing.
The first part wasn't really embarrassing, but... besides Mom yelling at...
You're gonna drink it!
You're gonna drink it!
I'm gonna make you drink it! Bobby!
But, I mean... He threw up on the girl he really liked out of... Sheer nerves, which is so embarrassing. And then
I thought that was great. You by the way, your fake
you know
throat noise
that was
is
better
fantastic.
Than the other things we were planning for you.
Yes,
so.
I'm so much happier with throwing up on someone than the other things. No, sir, go away.
I'll have to tell my friend I what I did to him as an inspiration.
So, yeah, it was just a bunch of embarrassing circumstances. That one more than the rest, though.
I would say empathy.
Yeah.
Because Willis is the character that you want to root for.
He's kind of the viewpoint character in all.
All the comical bad things happen to him, and you're like, "Aw,
oh,
why?
Come on! Yeah.
We don't want to see that happen to Willis."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you're rooting for him in the situation with the. With the girl.
Uh huh.
You're rooting for him.
Even though we knew the outcome beforehand, we still.
Well, yeah, you're rooting for him.
We're still rooting
at boot camp.
Oh.
And then he gets shot in the toe.
With his family, you're all.
You're just like oh, we got a word in edgewise! Good job!
Willis is always getting the short end of the stick.
Oh!
With his family.
Well played, sir.
One of his little siblings will build a church in him.
Oh, there are two puns there.
Such a jerk.
Terrible, terrible.
Oh, dear.
For Willis, I'm going to go with documentative.
Yeah. You know, that was an interesting...
It was like a TV interview.
Well,
or
yeah.
Well, he allowed it to go that way, because you did kind of do that with the rest of us in some form or another.
Yeah.
But we got into the actual scene of it.
Yeah.
Whereas Willis just kind of talked back to you like you were an interviewer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It worked.
But I thought that was a great thing for his episode.
Yeah,
yeah,
it worked.
And it brought his mom back in.
Any chance you get to play his mom.
You want some lemonade? It's red. Billy got a hold of
him. I thought it was Bobby.
Whatever.
Billy, Bobby.
It's one of my kids.
One of them.
15. When did that happen?
Either of them would have done it.
Oh, did we tell you about last time?
All right, so we've gone around. Everybody shared other words for all the episodes. Fantastic.
Yes.
Let's very briefly talk about the food. By the way, everybody gets 8 character points from me tonight.
8?
8?
Nice!
8! Alright, so let me say something about the food.
Yeah.
It was...
supposed to be.
It was... Tonight's theme for the food was to bring...
The best of.
And so...
The previous episodes.
Yeah.
We all failed.
So everyone brought what was their best of that they had brought before. And it was all of it was subpar to what it was the first time. The beer cheese soup wasn't as good. The ham was really good, but it wasn't like pull off the bone.
It wasn't
epic.
As good, but it was very good.
And the dangerously delicious pie was
not the same one.
It was still really good, but it wasn't the pulled pork. It was a quiche.
I gotta go with the cheesecake, though.
The cheesecake.
That was the only one that was just as good.
Oh, my gosh. I bit into the cheesecake, and I just had a little bit of rapture in my mouth.
I think I had half of it on my own.
The snack that Jeremy brought, the cheesecake thing, it's like...
Cheesecake
dish. You get the crescent rolls?
It's called crescent roll cheesecake.
And you get some cream cheese with sugar and vanilla and awesome goodness.
Cinnamon,
you mix it all
sugar.
Up. And you put it in there, and then you put another crescent rolls on top, and then you put sugar on it with cinnamon, and it's awesome.
You're missing out right now listening to this, because Jeff is really fun to watch talk with his hands.
It is so good. You don't understand.
We're having to, like, lean away from him because of his gesturing.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the ice cream cake. It wasn't the mint. And I was eating it, and I'm like, this is good chocolate, but it's missing the mint the entire time.
Uh-huh.
I was like, subpar. Subpar.
See, my vote would have to go for the ham tonight.
I'm going to second the ham. I loved it. was really good.
I thought the cheesecake dessert was best.
Yeah, I did too.
I would say the ham.
Oh, ham was.
Jeff doesn't vote yet.
Oh, yeah.
We can't. I was going to go with cheesecake too.
Three for the ham. I mean, if we're letting Jordan vote, that's split down the middle.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Points for both?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah!
There's no writing utensils. You're like, 8 points! Woo! Nothing to write it with. Oh.
Just remember it. I'm sure you'll remember
I know we're not going for the full character points stuff and everything, but as far as... I mean, obviously, none of our stuff was really advanced.
Yeah, you can't.
We can't not really. Do that. I mean...
But
NPC-wise...
Best NPCs. I think that's worth a mention.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many good
ones. There were so many good ones.
There were, yeah.
There were so many good ones. It's hard.
Bernard and Walter.
Bernard wearing the glasses.
Yes.
Then there was Willis's parents.
And Justine.
Yes.
Justine was adorable. And his
Nadia.
Friend.
Yeah.
Justine.
Was she... I was Nadia. Too into playing her at the
moment. No, that was
no,
good.
Yeah, you did she, really good with her.
You drove that
she
scene.
Justine,
good,
there's
was
Nadia.
Cool.
There's Cassiopeia. There was...
There's Cassie. There's Abigail.
There, Rhea.
God.
The counselor was Jake.
The counselor was fun.
Andy. Andromeda.
Andy? Yeah.
Can I just say, I really like role-playing as your sibling. Like, a lot. We work well as brothers.
I really liked what you did with Andy's character, Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think there was so... Across the board, not just NPC, but character role-playing was great. Across the board.
I mean, that's kind of what we came to do tonight, was bring the character.
Jared was good. Yeah, like I said, I like being your sibling.
What's his name? Your dad?
Maurice,
yeah.
Sure, we voting for best NPC?
No.
There's no way.
I don't think
there's
no way.
Where's
Chad?
We're just mentioning.
That was funny.
Woo! All right, pipe down back there, Chad.
I wish the professor was the next professor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the dean.
Huh. I like at the end of that scene when you went up to Chad and you're like, bet you I get a date out of this. That was awesome. That was awesome. Just had to mention that.
Mm-hmm. The role playing just across the board was outstanding this time around.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. I mean,
this has been a pretty
amazing
progressively
night.
Sillier.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all just starting to feel the time frame. I mean, it's like what, after 2 o'clock?
Almost 2:49. Yeah, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning.
2:50.
That's not good.
It's early.
This is about the time I go to bed, just in general. So.
This is about the time I've already been in bed about 4 hours or so.
So we're really feeling it right now. So thank you very much for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @BoneThrowersTheater, and our email address is bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.